You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Everybody, welcome into a new episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Today's episode, I'm joined, it's Rockets off day, so my buddy Calvin Watkins, Rockets beat writer for ESPN.com, he's had the day off as well. So, well, Calvin, what's going on, man? How's your off day?
It was good. Uneventful.
Yeah.
About 3 naps.
Yeah, it is for the Rockets as well. It seems like they've had off days. Didn't practice Monday, didn't practice Tuesday, which is nice because they're taking the, the rest theme seriously. I guess on a separate note, you know, it's been an uneventful day for the Rockets. It hasn't been an uneventful day for Houston sports. Calvin, I mean, you're our connection to Dallas. Why couldn't you get Tony Romo here, man?
You don't want Tony Romo here. He wants
someone who
wants something. He doesn't want anything. You're better off. Trust me. As soon as he would have got hit, you guys would have been worried. Trust me.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair argument. I mean, he would have been a nice bridge on paper. Obviously, long term, they're going to be drafting their next real QB. But he's a nice bridge on paper. But, you know, if you pencil him in and then he gets hurt, well, what does that really do anyway? Speaking of guys that are hurt, that'll be my segue. The news of the week for the Rockets is, of course, Sam Dekker's broken hand. It's kind of interesting. They happened Sunday. They put out the medical update Monday, said he'd be reevaluated in a week. Now, a lot of folks kind of took that update a little too literally. I don't think they're saying a week after breaking his hand, he's going to be chomping at the bit to get back. I think it's more they'll release an update in a week and kind of see where the hand is at. Calvin, what have you heard? How long do you think this is? Is there any realistic shot that he, comes back, be it in the regular season or the playoffs?
I'm hearing 3 to 4 weeks, but they'll evaluate in a week just to see, you know, if the hand is healing. I don't think there's a rush to get Sam Dekker on the court because the feeling was he wasn't going to play a whole lot in the postseason anyway.
Yeah.
So this is like, okay, we're sorry you broke your hand. Take your time coming back. Trevor Williams played okay. Well, not okay. Played pretty good in Phoenix. So we got Troy Williams. And besides, they're only going to play 8 to 9 players anyway in the postseason. So I think everyone feels bad for Sam because, as you know, he had the back surgery last year. And, you know, I think he played like 5 games all last year. And then now this year, he really couldn't finish the whole season. And there were some times where I thought he played really well, and there were times I thought he struggled, especially with his outside shot. But, you know, it is what it is, as they like to say. So, but he'll be back stronger next year, hopefully.
With him struggling with his outside shot, that's why I thought it's such an unfortunate injury for him, because if he was going to play in the playoffs, the one route I could see for him to have gotten major playing time was if he got hot from three again the way he was in November. But, well, when you break your hand, it's not like he can practice shooting. It's not like he's going to be able to do drills. So, yeah, given his weakness, it's kind of an unfortunate thing. The other issue, you know, even if he's physically healthy in 3 or 4 weeks, first off, as you said, it's kind of a small role anyway. In the games like Cleveland, San Antonio, that were really meaningful in the past month or so, he had really seen his role trim to even 5-10 minutes at times. And secondly, in terms of filling the power forward minutes, you've got Ryan Anderson coming back. You've got Trevor Ariza, who's played pretty well as a small ball four recently. So really, my initial reaction was, well, Troy Williams looks pretty good, but can he guard fours? Really, Troy Williams doesn't even have to guard fours. He just has to be playable, period. Because if he can play, then you can, you know, slide Ryan and Ariza. You can make the math work as far as guys at the four. And Calvin, I'm curious your take, because as I see it, you know, I feel bad for Sam, but if he's back in, say, 4 weeks, which is probably the most reasonable timetable, assuming nothing complex, that's going to put you right after the first round of the playoffs. Well, to me, with a role that small, if the Rockets win the first-round series, no matter who they play, if they've won their first-round series with Troy Williams playing a role, no matter how small, it's tough to see Sam Dekker as the kind of guy that you'd then say, you know what, we're going to disrupt our rotation and put him back in. To me, Troy Williams has a chance that, well, if the Rockets go out and play well and Troy Williams is part of the rotation, then it's kind of hard to see him losing that job. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It'd be interesting to see how Mike D'Antoni plays Troy in the last, six games of the season without Sam. And if Troy Williams plays well in the last, one week basically. If he plays well in this last basic week of the season, then maybe he can get about 8 to 10 minutes a game in the postseason. If he gets 8, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, look, D'Antoni's kept a tight rotation all year. And he's going to keep a tighter rotation in the postseason. And once Ron Anderson comes back, the bench guys are going to be Eric Gordon, Lou Williams, and Nene. Montrezl Harrell, I know a lot of us have been talking about, can Montrezl play power forward? And he did in Phoenix for Nene. But Montrezl Harrell, who I think has been better than Sam Dekker, isn't getting a lot of PT. And he probably won't get a lot of playing time in the postseason neither. So, I'm hoping the brakes on Troy Williams and Sam Dekker, they're not going to have much of an impact once the playoffs start. I think you want to see what you can get, what you got rather than Troy Williams in this last week. And after one game, I think even D'Antoni was like, he had a good game, but let's calm down. Before we put him in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, let's see what he does against Denver. Let's see what he can do against Detroit. And then we got Sacramento and the Clippers in Minnesota. So let's just get through some of this stuff here. And because after all, they're playing against one of the youngest teams in the NBA on Sunday in Phoenix. Nothing against Phoenix, but it is what it is. So let's hold off before we decide to put everyone in the Hall of Fame.
No doubt. And I said that one of the more laughable takes on NBA media this week. I saw someone saying that, Pat Beverly's good game against the Suns could be a detriment to James Harden's MVP campaign. I mean, that's laughable. No disrespect to Pat at all, but that's just, that's a terrible defensive team. And so, you got to take everything from that game, with a healthy dose of skepticism. And so, you can't just sit here and say, Troy Williams is the answer. My only thing with Troy, as you said, it's a really minor role. We're talking 8, 10, 12 minutes. And so as I see it, just the timing of it's unfortunate for Sam, because if Troy Williams plays those 8 to 12 minutes per game, pretty much just leftover minutes, let's call it, and then the Rockets beat the Thunder or whoever they play in the first round, then it's tough for me to see a route where they say, let's put Dekker back in. But even if he's healthy, just the way it breaks down, if the Rockets are winning with Troy Williams playing minutes, then, he's probably going to stay out there. But as you said, big picture, that's a small thing. What's a bigger thing is Ryan Anderson. He's the one real injury that they have. This coming Friday against the Pistons, that's going to be the 2-week mark since the injury. They said when it happened that he'd be out 2 weeks. We haven't really seen him much because the Rockets, as I said leading off, they've been resting. They didn't practice today. They didn't practice Monday. Curious if you saw him on the road trip. Curious if you've heard anything. Is Ryan expected to be ready to go shortly after that 2 weeks expires?
Well, we didn't see him on a road trip. That's number one.
Oh, okay.
And you're right, the 2 weeks does end this, will end this week, like Friday. I would anticipate him maybe practicing, maybe in the back end of this week. Now, they have a game tomorrow against Denver, so maybe he'll do a little shoot around or whatever, but I don't anticipate him playing. To me, if he's going to be ready to go for the playoffs, maybe you have for those final three games of the season where you got Sacramento, the Clippers, and Minnesota, and then you got the playoffs which will probably start Saturday or Sunday of next week. So that, to me, would be the tell sign. If he could maybe get back to those last three games of the season, he could be okay. But if not, and he's ready for the playoffs, then I think that's a positive sign. The last time I saw that ankle, it had a pretty big knot on it, and I assume that that knot has gone down in some fashion since he sprained it, 2 weeks ago almost.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that kind of can make you a little caution, I would say, after the Dekker injury, because with a Dekker injury, you definitely have one less body that can play against power forwards. So we say, Ariza can play some small ball four, but really, without Dekker, you definitely need Ryan Anderson to get back. I guess we'll have to wait and see when we actually physically see him. And when you were saying he didn't go on the road trip, that's kind of a smart call by the Rockets, I guess. No reason to put him through the travel if he's not going to play. There's no such thing as really moral support at this stage of the NBA calendar. We all know the Rockets are locked into their seed. They're just trying to get to the playoffs as healthy as they can. And I know, Calvin, if we asked him at shoot-around or tomorrow at the game, if you even mention the word rest to anybody in that locker room, you know they're going to bristle. You know they're going to say they don't believe in that, blah, blah, blah. However, it seems like, from a management standpoint, you know, they're not going to go out of their way to say they're doing it, but they at least seem to be open to it. Because you look at their schedule over the past week. As you said, Ryan didn't go on the road trip. They're letting him kind of rest up at home. Practices, they didn't practice either of the last 2 days. That's a little uncharacteristic of them when they have 2 days off at home. We know what happened Sunday when James Harden and Trevor Ariza were both out, although Ariza's, I know, was kind of a personal issue. But does it seem like to you, Calvin, that even though they're not going to outright admit that they're resting, that they're at least aware that maybe they should take these, you know, these last week and a half before the playoffs to make sure everybody's healthy, make sure everybody's 100% by April 15th, April 16th, whatever that weekend is?
I think they should rest people. You know, I would like to see Bobby Brown get extensive time. I would, you know, I would like to see Troy Williams get, you know, some good time. But for whatever reason, they're just not going to do it. Now, I did ask Mike D'Antoni a couple of days ago, hey, have you thought about, you know, reducing some minutes for players during this stretch of the season? And he said, yeah, we'll talk about it. So I would assume that there's some guys who get some reduced minutes. I'm not sure what the magic number is for the third team. It might be three or two.
No, it's one now.
Is it one?
Yep.
Is it one now?
Yep.
Okay, is it one? So, I mean, you win and you're good. So maybe everyone plays tomorrow against Denver. You clinch the third seed. And then I think Detroit is here on Friday.
Yeah.
But then you just say, you know what? We're going to reduce our minutes on Friday. We go on the road. We got a back-to-back in Sac and in L.A. Maybe you don't play everybody in the last game against Minnesota. Really doesn't mean anything to anybody. So maybe you just start Bobby Brown and Troy Williams and those guys and let them run around for the last game of the season. That's what I think should happen. But, you know, Mike D'Antoni and his guys, they play. They want to play 82
yep.
games. They don't believe in, you know, in that taking a game off per se. But I think if they clinch the third seed, which you said is the match. There's one that's tomorrow. Get out of there and get everyone healthy. After all, your star player has got a sore left wrist.
Yeah.
You know, and the more rest he can get, the better. Pat Beverly sprained his ankle the other night, and then he played in Phoenix, which I was surprised. He left out of the locker room in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
So getting him a day off or so, I think it'd be beneficial. Ariza kind of got a day off, unfortunately, because of a family issue.
Yeah.
So, you know, the more rest you can give these guys, the better. But at the same time, the players and front office will say we want to be able to get into a rhythm going into the playoffs. You know, and that makes sense because if you play Oklahoma City, you better be ready because you don't want to get upset in the first round.
Sure. And that's where I was going with that. The players, they're not ever going to want to rest, but it seems like the organization's doing a pretty good job of finding, like I said, creative ways, you know, giving them 2 days off without practice, which is uncharacteristic, not putting Ryan on the road trip, little things like that, trying to get him a break when they can. With Harden, it was a good game for him to miss. I know he had the flu or whatever, but really, you give him that game off prior to two regular off days. So really, when Harden plays Wednesday night against the Nuggets, he's going to basically have 5 days off, you know, because he played in Oakland.
Uh-huh.
Saturday they were off because it was a travel day. He had Sunday off. Monday and Tuesday
uh-huh.
they didn't even practice. So it's kind of like they're being creative, you know. They're finding ways, you know, no practices.
Yeah.
And then the one game they gave Harden off was actually, it was one where if he didn't play that game, he could have 5 days off. Because some of these, you know, if you rest him either the Portland game or the Golden State, I don't know how much it does. Now, disregard the fact that he was never going to sit out a Golden State game anyway. But, for example, if you sit him out that stretch last week where you have 3 games in 4 nights, how much does it really do unless you sit him out all of them because he's going to be playing the next night anyway. So you might as well let him play. Whereas now they've actually given him, you know, pretty much 100 straight hours to kind of rest that wrist, maybe get it feel better. So it's a little creative. Calvin, to spin it back to last week, and while we're on the topic of James Harden, kind of where I wanted to wrap up this podcast, curious your assessment. You're a national guy. You write for ESPN. How much damage has Harden done to his MVP campaign over the past week? My theory, I know he doesn't want to rest. Maybe the magic number for him is get to 80 games. He can rest one more. If he gets to 80 games, he can still make the argument that, you know, it's a big round number. He pretty much was there every night. I know that's meaningful to him, both from a team perspective as well as how he wants to lead individually. But you can certainly see a few of the national writers kind of, you know, turned a wary eye to those bad stat lines last week when he was basically inefficient. It felt like shooting in the mid-30s from the field, a few too many turnovers, not as many assists. Do you think last week was particularly damaging from that standpoint, or is it something that, you know, if he goes out and has a couple of good games, now that he's rested against Denver and Detroit, can he turn it around pretty quickly?
Well, I think he damaged his candidacy. You know, Russell Westbrook, you know, is putting up a historic-type season. Mm-hmm. That's his Harden, I think. For whatever reason, the triple-doubles are kind of overshadowing what Harden's doing in some way. But I don't think Harden hurt himself by not playing against Phoenix or playing hurt. I think he's done enough. You look at his numbers and everything, I think he's done more than enough to say, hey, I'm in the conversation or I should get it. I saw there was a poll in the Washington Post where they talked to MVP voters, and a majority of them had Harden over Westbrook. And then we at ESPN, we did a poll, all of us cover the NBA, 50-50 between Westbrook and Harden. And I do believe it is a close race. I don't know what 2 weeks of this season, last week and this week, could do to hurt or help James Harden. I just think you have seen enough. He most likely will lead the league in assists. He'll probably finish second or third in points. He'll lead the league in points produced. First man since Nate Archibald to do it. His team is the third seed. I don't know what more he could do. You know, now Russell Westbrook, I think he's done enough too. I mean, he's got, I think, 40 triple doubles. His team is the sixth seed. So I don't know what more he could do. I just think you can interpret all the numbers any way you want to. It's up to you to decide who meant the most to their particular team. To me, I think Harden has done enough to win this thing. Now, if you say, what about Russell Westbrook? Well, I think he's done a fantastic job as well. I just think Harden's team is at a higher place than Westbrook's team, and that gives them the edge, in my opinion. And maybe some voters feel the same way.
Yeah, I think that's a fair characterization. In terms of any momentum late in the game for Westbrook, I think it's not so much what Harden isn't doing. It's the fact that Westbrook had, what, that 57-point triple-double, those ridiculous comebacks, albeit against Orlando and Dallas, two teams that are not particularly good. The only argument I've seen gain a little bit of traction against Harden is this notion that his clutch statistics aren't as good as Westbrook's. But my response to this, and I'll let you weigh in as well, but I'm not so much of a believer that there's a huge clutch gene to begin with. I go back to something Daryl Morey said several years ago, which is, you know, the good teams don't win close games, they avoid them. So the fact that Russell Westbrook's gotten his team's wins late in close games against the likes of Orlando and Dallas, that's great, but Harden's getting, you know, a similarly talented Rockets group even more wins, and if his numbers aren't that great in the clutch, well, they're getting the wins anyway. So what that tells you is that, well, he got them the wins by other means. So let's not penalize Harden for being good enough in the first three quarters that maybe he doesn't have as many clutch games, or maybe the Rockets in the clutch are just trying to basically run out the clock because they have a healthy 8 or 10 point lead. To me, that clutch stat is a little bit misleading when you look at the overall win figure. And well, Harden's obviously doing something right to have his team in the position that they're in, which is at least, you know, five games ahead of where Westbrook has the Thunder.
I would say you know, and I've covered 50, I'm sorry, maybe 60-some-odd games this year in person. I've probably seen every game practically on TV that I'm not at. And I would say there are very few times where the Rockets were in this close game, 4 seconds left, and even shot. You know, now I'm not saying they haven't been in those games because they have been, but I don't think they're in as many games as, say, the Thunder. And that's just me looking at the statistics.
It's accurate.
Those kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, so that clutch stat is a little misleading because you have to be in the clutch, you know, a lot.
Yes.
You know, that stat, for me, that's like a baseball stat. It's like, oh, the Astros are 5-2 in A games. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
So that's what that stat means to me. I just think if you take James Harden off the Rockets, what are the Rockets? I still think they're a playoff team. I think they're a 7th-8 seed. Now, to take them off the Rockets, the other thing you have to say is the question of Aaron Gordon signed with Houston. Do the Rockets still try to get Nene? There's a lot of what-ifs there. Mm-hmm. If you take Russell Westbrook off the Thunder, do they make the deal for Oladipo? You know, and do they make that deal? You know, do they? You know, I don't know. So who's got a better supporting cast? I would say Harden's got a better supporting cast than Westbrook. Does that mean that Westbrook is doing more with less? Probably so, but I still think James Harden has had a much better year than Russell Westbrook. Not by just enough to win the MVP award.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to sum it up, and it ties back into my general theme, which is sample size. It's one of those things you can't punish the Rockets for not playing in enough close games, because when you look at the volume, yeah, those stats, I've seen them. Russell Westbrook's just had a much bigger proportion of those games, so of course he's going to have more overall numbers. And for the Rockets to win, well, they've been good enough with Harden leading the way not to be in that many close games and to be on pace to win 55-plus games. So let's not punish him for not being Superman in the clutch, because, quite frankly, the Rockets haven't needed him to be. They're doing just fine with whatever the production is now. Calvin, I'll wrap up here. You're kind of our Dallas liaison. I started by giving you the Romo question, which maybe you calm people down. I don't know. But I'm going to give you the other one. Is this the year Astros are 1-0, your Rangers are 0-1. Are the Astros going to overtake the Rangers this year? Is this it?
You know, I was talking with someone with the Astros a couple of days ago, and that person said, our lineup is straight. If we get the pitching that we need, we'll be good and we should win the West. Now I was talking to a buddy about the Rangers, and he said the exact same thing. The lineup is straight. The pitching is the question mark. You know, the Rangers closer blew a game the other night against the Indians. Open day. Yu Darvish was not as good as he should have been. You know, I mean, it's just what it is. And Keuchel was just outstanding. Astros. So to answer your question, I think the Astros will probably win the division. I just think it's their year. You know, you got two guys coming off health issues with the Astros. So I think the Astros will win the National League West. American League West. I think they will.
That'd be quite a trip for them to win the NL West. Well, folks, heard it.
That'd be hard to do with the Dodgers out there, I tell you.
you heard it here. Calvin's bringing the optimism today. He's still on board the Harden MVP train. He thinks the Astros will win the AL West. And you know what? Don't be too bummed about Tony Romo, because, well, Calvin says he would have gotten hurt anyway. So
he would have got hurt anyway. He got hurt with that line in Dallas. That's supposed to be one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. What's the Texans offensive line? They got issues, too.
Yeah.
So, look, I'm not saying Tom Savage is going to lead you to the, it's a championship game, but unless you have the talent to beat New England and maybe the Raiders, because check it out, if your boy in Oakland wasn't hurt, the quarterback, Carr, if Carr wasn't hurt, you're losing that first round game.
No doubt.
You're playing the Patriots on the road. So let's be realistic. But it's not your fault that he was hurt. You did what you had to do. You beat the Raiders. and then you played a very good game against the Patriots, and you didn't have the quarterback play a better quarterback, maybe you win that game, I think.
Yeah.
If you had a better quarterback, you'd probably beat the Patriots. No?
I think so, too. That's what makes it sting so much, and that's why, you know, it doesn't have to be Romo, but I hope they look at the veterans because the team's good enough. The bar is not that high. They've got a pretty good overall team. It's just a matter of even passable quarterback play is enough to get them, if not over the hump, at least competitive, and that would be a huge step for this franchise. Anyway, Calvin Watkins, you guys know him on Twitter, at Calvin Watkins, Rockets beat writer, ESPN.com. Calvin, thanks so much for the time, bud.
Thanks,
and
you take care.
You too. Good chat there. Sorry for taking a little off topic, but, you know, there's not that much Rockets news going on these days with them taking off practice for Russ. Well, it's been busy for the Astros, and it's also been busy for the Texans with the Romo news. So I hope you'll pardon the brief diversions. We'll be back to all Rockets talk the rest of the week when the Rockets are back in action. Nuggets Wednesday night. Pistons Friday night. And really, I see that as a good opportunity for Harden to kind of reestablish his MVP credentials. I know that, as Calvin said, it's not like he really lost them. If anything, the momentum was because of how phenomenal Westbrook was in the past week. But at the same time, we do know Harden was playing hurt, and the numbers did dip a little bit. With him having 5 straight days off to rest that wrist, I think tomorrow night's a good opportunity. I would be highly surprised if Harden sat out again. First off, he didn't even technically sit out due to rest. They called it the flu. But flu, rest, whatever. But the game in Houston, him having 5 days off, I think he wants to play. He wants to stay fresh. He wants to lead. I think it's a great opportunity with him rested to put up one of those flashy stat lines, hopefully a 30-point triple-double, that as we close out the regular season can go a long way towards mitigating any losses he sustained over the past week in terms of his MVP momentum. I think if he goes out and has a solid final week, he can get back in, well, the same position he was after the Oklahoma City game when the Rockets took care of business against Westbrook and the Thunder, and it seemed like Harden had pretty much a hammer lock on the MVP race. I know that door has been opened a little bit now, but I still think Harden's the front runner, and with a good final week, now that he's rested, I think there's a decent opportunity for him to do that. I think definitely he's still the clear front runner to bring home this award. And on that positive note, I will wrap up this show. Appreciate you guys tuning in on this Rockets off day. Again, I'm Ben DuBose, your host. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben DuBose. This is Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. You can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On Rockets or email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Any questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, whatever we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the Rockets fans, don't hesitate to let us know. Look forward to talking with you guys tomorrow when the Rockets are finally back in action against the Denver Nuggets. It will be yet another game for Troy Williams, I would suspect. But based on everything we've heard thus far, James Harden and Trevor Ariza should be back. So pretty much with the exception of Ryan Anderson and obviously Sam Decker, I would suspect the Rockets have their full rotation. So essentially it will be the normal guys plus Troy Williams filling in some of those gaps. Tip time, 7 p.m. at Toyota Center against the Nuggets. Not going to be easy because the Nuggets, they're back in the playoff picture now. The Blazers lost in Minnesota on Monday night, so the Blazers, they also have another tough game against the Jazz, I believe, tonight. So the Blazers, it seemed like that they kind of had a lock on the 8th seed. They were playing really great ball, as the Rockets saw last week in Portland. Now that's kind of slipped a little bit, maybe not of their own doing. It is a tough schedule in Minnesota and Utah, but the Nuggets, they do see a little bit of an opening. Also, the Blazers have the injury to Nurkic, so there's an opening for the Nuggets. They played the Rockets very competitively twice in March. Both of those went down to the wire. Rockets, fortunately, did get it done in the clutch. You want to go back to, well, the Harden clutch stats. Those are two games that, well, he did get it done, including a virtual buzzer beater the last time. But what it does show you, the Nuggets, they're very big. They gave the Rockets some problems. I would expect it to be a good competitive game. And hopefully the Rockets, having 72 hours of rest, and, well, even more than that, we can call it 120 hours of rest, for some of those guys that didn't play since the Golden State game, like Harden and Ariza. Hopefully the Rockets at Toyota Center will come out focused and be able to get yet another win against those Nuggets. Whatever happens, though, I'll be talking with you on Twitter, of course, at Ben DuBose, but, of course, here at Locked On Rockets, following the game, and, well, look forward to chatting with you guys then. For now, enjoy your evening. Talk to you tomorrow from Toyota Center.